of the Living Geek.
All right. Let me close out some extra windows.
Yeah, somebody eating something or got a wrapper? Or?
Oh, that's Brian.
I'm playing with my Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You'll stop that when we record it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm almost done.
I've never been able to figure it out. And I know there are videos. I just don't want to.
Well, you just got to memorize the algorithms. It's really.
Yeah, that's my problem. I honestly don't have the patience for it. Like, we'll get to it when we actually start recording, but I would not even have had the patience for that, that reward challenge. I would have just been like, oh, fuck this. I don't want it. I'm just going to stand here. You other two guys, you run around on the side and get the thing to move. I'm just going to stand here.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday sucked.
What happened? Oh, the Sharks game.
It was a triple overtime game.
Yeah.
Well, it should have been a single overtime game.
It should have been a 4 minutes into overtime game. I mean, don't get me wrong. Bad calls happen. I get it. It's really frustrating when it happens to the team that you follow.
Well, I think it causes them a game, too.
I think our buddy Alex nailed it on the head. He's been saying for a couple of years now how he hates the way that refereeing changes in the NHL from the regular season to the playoffs.
No, see, I like it. I don't mind it. I think, though, that was a bad call no matter what.
That one was a bad call no matter what. But just the way that they...
They would have made that same bad call in the regular season, is what I'm saying.
See, but the other stuff, like, in the triple, like, throughout the triple overtime, after a faceoff, they would call a do-over for the faceoff on a clean faceoff win. And, like, the announcers and watching it, I have no clue why they were doing it. Oh. Repeatedly, they were doing it all night. And I was like, why? What the fuck is going on?
Okay, I have to defer to you on that one, because I know some of the rules about face-offs. I don't know all of them. And so when they get redone like that, I'm just like, I don't know. That sounds reasonable to me.
And that's what bugs me about the change from regular season to playoffs, is that, like, incidental contact, like, they'll let you bump into the goalie more often. And the problem with that is there are certain teams that are built to win the regular season, like the Sharks of the last decade, that don't do well when they're bullied on the ice. And there are teams that squeak by, even though they're bullies on the ice in the regular season, make it to the playoffs as a lower seed. But when they get to the playoffs and suddenly they can get away with more, then that special teams tip is sometimes all it takes. And it completely changes the way that, like, I keep thinking for the longest time, like, the quintessential example is Anaheim and San Jose. San Jose was a very finesse, set up the perfect shot kind of team, and Anaheim was just crash the net, fuck it, you know. Yep,
but and
Anaheim in the regular season loses those games because they get penalties, and we had a better special teams. But in the playoffs, they could just crash the net, and most of the time they'd be like, "Yeah, fuck it, it's the playoffs, let them play." But no, because there's a reason we have our team the way we do it.
Well. But I can actually tie this into Survivor, so I'll use this as our intro. OutWitOutPlayOutcast.com.
Yay.
Now is the time to start scheming. Episode 12, Season 32, Brains vs. Bronze. Cambodia, Night of Living Geeks, Patreon.com. I'm Nick. That's Andy. That's Brian. To bring it to Survivor, though, actually, that's the Russell argument. That's saying, well, you know, I was perfectly situated to win this game. I didn't win the game. I'm going to blame the game for this. It's not the Sharks' fault. Or, I'm sorry, it's not the league's fault that the Sharks were built to win the regular season, not in the postseason.
It's the league's fault for setting up a league that makes you build a team to make the playoffs that then is set up to lose in the playoffs.
But if everyone's aware of this, though, right? Everybody knows that you can get away with a little bit more in the postseason. You can get away with how it's a little bit harder to be that finesse team. It's a little bit harder to do whatever. Everyone's aware of all of these rules. Then why are you? You don't really have an excuse to not do it. It's like, okay,
you still want to win the regular season.
Yeah, you want to win, but you want to get in. No, you don't care about the President's Trophy. I mean, it's cool. I'm glad that teams win it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those, because there are a lot of people who are like, oh, that's really cool. You won the President's Trophy. What's that mean? Oh, regular season. No, regular season is 82 games. It means a lot. But it, again, it's like Russell saying, look, I ran this game from the start. I knew what I was doing. How dare you not give me $1 million? It's like, yeah, because we don't like you, because you didn't think about the jury at all. You just thought about the merge and getting people on the jury. You didn't think about how to actually win this thing.
I don't know. That is different, because the game doesn't change there. Like, that's been the game the entire time. It'd be like...
No, it does change, because think of it this way.
When you go into Survivor on day one, you know that backstabbing people can cause you to lose the game. And he knew it going in. He was banking on them seeing his superior play and figuring he deserved $1 million. And that guess was wrong. But the better example would be like halfway through, you know, let's change two people on the jury. Let's take out people who played and put in two fans. Or even just one fan.
No, the like fun...
Suddenly changing the rules of how you win at the end.
No. The way they fundamentally change it is by even having a jury. Because up until the merge, it's just straight, your team won.
He goes into the game knowing there's going to be a jury.
Right. The Sharks and other finesse teams go into the playoffs knowing that finesse doesn't quite work compared to taking an extra penalty here and there and being a little bit heavier, that sort of thing. A little bit more physicality is what you need. So it's the same principle, just translated into a different arena.
But that's not why they lost yesterday. They lost because of a bad call.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah,
they're not a finesse team this season. They're a much different team.
And just in case I don't, I'll probably keep that part in. But just in case I don't, yeah, that we all agree that was a bad call. That was whatever. That was why. So this is why the episode's coming out a little bit late, because last night was a triple overtime game, and we're not going to record during a triple overtime game.
Did somebody say Blue Label?
Oh, that was it. That
Brandon, I know you don't watch Ponderosa, but please,
you must watch this one at the very absolute bare minimum, Brian. If you do nothing else, go to this episode on notlg.com. There's episode art for each episode. Usually it's a screen grab from the episode itself. This time, as soon as I hit that point in the Ponderosa video, well, first off, as soon as I hit that point, I realized, what the fuck was that? I need to rewind and see it again, because I don't believe it. And then, yeah, that's what happened. So I screenshotted it, and that will be the episode art for this episode, because...
Brian, in the notes right now, and you can cut this out if you want to, go down, scroll down to the third page. There's a bit of text in bright red, underlined in bold. That's his best Ponderosa moment. And then there's a link underneath it. Go to that link. It's like a 10-second video. Just watch it right
now.
Wait,
it's just that part?
Yeah, it's just that part. Where is it?
No, it won't let me click on it. I got to
copy and paste.
Copy it, yeah.
It's just that part. It's literally like 6 seconds.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love the fact that he just brought... Right? Okay.
We should talk about the actual lip.
No, I got it. Hold on. No, this is all going to be in there. So, listener, just in case, I'm going to even read you the link. https://streamable.com/AL24. Enjoy. We'll give you the context on that in a minute, but yeah.
Oh my God. I love that, like, he's fully clothed, but his wang is so big they have to blur it out.
Well, it's because he's not fully clothed. He's in a wrestler's Speedo.
Yeah, but I mean, it's covered.
He's in a Speedo.
But they have his dick blurred out.
Look, yeah. They also blur out, like, plumber's crack. So.
Yeah. This episode,
he probably just had a bulge that they couldn't ignore, and just
we all know
5-year-old granny is gonna get real offended or real turned on. We have either one of those.
It's fine. We all know he's got an eggplant emoji. It's all right. So yeah, it's a bizarre you know what, fuck it, out of order, let's do it right now. So what happened is Jason gets voted off. He goes back to Ponderosa. He's like talking to people. Hey guys, you know, it sucks I'm voted off, but whatever, I played a good game, blah 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 blah. And Scott jumps out of nowhere, a wild Scott appears and uses dick attack, and it's super effective. He's completely naked. except for that he's wearing like a silver luchador speedo and a blue luchador mask that he brought with him. He must have brought it with him. There's no way you could just find one in Cambodia. No,
he says he brought it with him.
Oh, and that's right.
I asked him why, and he said, like, I don't know.
I don't know. You never know when you're going to need one. He jumps out of nowhere with a bottle of Blue Label whiskey in his hand. He says, did somebody say Blue Label? And then he and Jason just hug and jump around.
Jason straight up jumps into his arms.
It is.
Like, jumps and wraps. Jason wraps his legs around Scott's hips.
It is easily, if you never ever watch any Ponderosa video, I'm with you, I get it, I love them, but okay, agree to disagree, you must watch this video, or at least that part, just to see the most bizarre non-sequitur Pokemon attack you'll ever see.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Terrifying and beautiful.
Okay, so.
So should we start the episode now?
Well, we are, yeah, let's start for real. So we'll recap real fast, just the whatever all happened. They come back from council and after having voted out Julia, and Jason is crowing about, oh, I almost gotcha.
Except what he actually says is, nobody's playing the game anymore. Everybody stopped playing. They've all just accepted their position.
That was later on.
He's turning into Sierra.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing she said. It's like, they're playing, you idiot. They just hate you and you're not included.
Well, not even that they hate him. It's just like, it's not that they've accepted their position. They just know what yours is, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, like, he should have been gone before the merge.
Yeah.
And so he was on borrowed time anyway. The thing is, like, because, he says, okay, well, you guys have all decided where you want to be, and you're all happy with that. And what he doesn't realize is that they are actually playing a game within the game. They're playing a game amongst, what's this, five of them? The five of them are playing a game amongst each other. And I kind of also get what he's saying. He's saying, look, you guys are five, all five of you are playing amongst yourselves. You could use me to turn the tide against someone. They just don't like him anywhere near enough to do that, number one. And number two, they don't trust him enough that once he's turned the tide, they can get rid of him.
And he's a threat in challenges. Even if you keep him around one more episode and use him as a vote for leverage, if he wins immunity one more time, then you've given him the possible leg up he needs to make it to final tribal, especially this close to the end.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you mean he's good in challenges? He's won one ever.
If he was
he's like Sydney. This is the first one Sydney's ever won, the first individual thing. And it's like they're always there.
But he hasn't won anything with a team either.
Right, well, he almost
always in the running.
He almost won this one, except he got a little bit impatient at the end and stepped. Yeah, that was great, wasn't it? Yeah. Just his little hubris of oh no, yeah.
I jumped up and cheered when he dropped him.
Yeah, yep. That was great. Well, I love that whole challenge. We'll get to that in a bit here, but so after the. Then they go to the reward challenge. And the reward challenge actually itself was kind of neat. Like, normally I'm kind of like, whatever, I don't care about this. Just fast forward to who wins. But I like this one because, for one, it was a little bit of a grueling, you got to swim a bit to get to where you're going to go. But then
swim,
it was
get out of the water, swim, get out. Like, they get in and out of the water is what really tires you out.
But, like, the real hard part was at the end. So, you know how you would get those shitty little, puzzle toys as a kid? You know, usually it was like slide some tiles to reveal or whatever. This was that one where it was like the little maze and you got to guide the ball into the hole in the center. The kind of thing that I would just go, yeah, I'll get this eventually. I don't want to do it, and just throw it away. I have no patience for those things. I cannot do them. But it was one of those. But the thing is, in order to get the ball to move, all three of you had to be standing in specific places on the around the edge of the puzzle.
And so it was like a raft on the water.
It was like a raft in the water, and it was brilliant. I loved that.
That's something that actually looked like it would be really fun to do, like at a party, make an inflatable version of that for a pool.
That'd be a good drinking game.
That'd be fun. Yeah, wouldn't it? Like, this actually looks like something I would want to do for Shigs. Not the whole, like, swimming over to it and getting in and out of the water.
Right. Yeah, just having
fuck
the
that stuff. Just the maze thing would be awesome.
Yeah. So we had...
So the teams were Kyle, Michelle, and Ty versus Joe, Sydney, and Aubrey, right?
Yeah, I was actually about to say that before you cut me off, goddammit!
And we
pretty much knew who was going to win just because it took Joe like 57 minutes.
Joe was on one of the teams.
Yeah, Joe, exactly. Actually, you know what? So you're talking about Jason never having won anything. Has Joe ever won anything?
Yes, no. The Brain Tribe has won things.
Oh, no, yeah. Like,
has he ever won anything individually?
He's never won anything individually.
I am amazed and impressed and astounded and very proud that Joe actually participated in this one and didn't just say,
I'm gassed. I'm good.
I'm sit this one out, Jeff.
I'm gassed. Yeah, that was, he will never live that one down.
Because he fucking damaged the integrity of the game.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit strong.
That was my rant from last week. Did you listen to last week's episode? That was my fucking rant.
You
at least just, like, walk the fuck around.
Yeah, I very much listened to it.
Yeah.
I should, because I wasn't on that one. Sorry. Yeah, I'll listen to that. But yeah, whatever. We knew it was cool. The thing is, though, it took him forever to reach that, the mat. And actually, I think that was smart play on the part of Michelle and, that was smart play on the part of Sydney and Aubrey, realizing, look, this is the weak guy. Let's have him go first, and then he's gonna get to his pad, and then he'll have like a couple minutes of rest, and then he can run around the side. The problem is, as soon as they actually start running around the side to move those balls around, he gets all old man cantankerous, and he's like, no, go on the left, go on the right, rah, 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 rah. So he was actually really irritating as fuck, even when he was fully healthy.
Yeah, he straight up shouted to them, you're not listening to me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And I was sitting there thinking, Joe, you're not the raid leader here.
Whelps! Whelps! DPS, get these ads!
Like, and I honestly did think, like, this is a generational issue.
Yeah.
Like, he's the older guy. He sees himself as needing to take charge over the two women. But also, and legitimately, this is something that, as a gamer, I know doesn't work. Like, playing MOBAs, playing MMOs. If you say, hey, everybody, let's go take this mercenary camp, and nobody else goes, that doesn't mean that you start attacking. That means that you're not in charge, and wait, you should listen to the person who is.
Are you saying that Joe is Leroy Jenkins?
A little bit, yeah.
At least I got my chicken. Oh, man, that'd be great if he just shouted, before he jumps into the water each time, just like, Joe! If I knew his last name, I would add that. I don't know. But Joe Jeffson! I don't know his name. That'd be pretty great. But he is not. As for the reward itself, it was kind of neat. They got to go to a animal sanctuary, which is kind of cool. They saw an elephant. I've always wanted to ride an elephant, and I know that's something you can do down there. But they saw an elephant named Lucky. Yeah, that was her name. Lucky. Oh, she's beautiful. Elephants. Guys, can we take a second to talk about elephants?
Sure.
I don't know what we need to say about them other than, let's just think about elephants for a second.
They are majestic creatures.
I got somebody to say, holy fuck, that was a huge elephant.
Right?
Jesus Christ.
They're all pretty big.
And that's like a tame. That one
especially. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's like a tame elephant. Domesticated elephant, too. That's not like a wild elephant.
I really like.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I would fuck an elephant. No, no.
Jesus, I really like these rewards where they take people out and give them a local experience. I mean, I'm not saying that the only places that there are wildlife refuges are, but it's nice to give a glimpse at a unique experience on the other side of the world. And then, you know, of course, give them the food because they want it and they deserve it, and it will help them in the game and all the other stuff for the challenge. Yeah. But This is a good reward, not just for the people who go, but for the people watching at home too. Like, it's neat for us to see, and I love when they do cultural stuff too, or like all that stuff is great.
Yeah.
We need more of this and less like Survivor movie night.
Yeah. Oh, wait, remember when they got to watch Jack and Jill and they had to say good things about it, and then you could see like they were blinking Morse code, they were blinking torture with their eyes. They're like, I liked the part where Jack said a funny joke.
Yeah, pretty much. This is actually, I really like these. These are fun to watch.
Did you notice at the beginning of the challenge when Jeff was explaining what the reward is? They show Jason with the super fake smile on his face. That sounds awesome.
I didn't notice that. That's funny. Was there food on this one? I don't remember.
Yeah, so before the animals came, they were sitting in that hut and kind of eating.
Yeah, yeah, then the elephant walked up.
Okay. And that elephant tried to eat Ty.
Yeah, it did. Ty's a cute little snack.
You know, the best part of this, the reward was, you know, Ty like, oh, it's so great, you know, that Jason's here for his kids because the kids are going to love. Michelle's like, I don't give a shit what fucking Jason's kid thinks. He's a prick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Jason scared those monkeys, that little asshole. Don't scare the monkeys.
Yeah, the handler's like, stay calm.
He's yeah. Like, I'm a monkey myself. Oh, these are my primal foes.
Oh, God.
I do a good Joe, guys. Wait. Yeah, I do a good Kyle, guys.
Yeah, yeah, whatever his name is.
Kyle did Jason.
Fuck him. Thank God he's finally gone, by the way. Yeah. But speaking of Joe, though, like, so while they were out there doing this, I swear to fucking God, Joe, what is your goddamn problem? Like, he's out there just shout, like he's trying to light the fire. But number one, like Sydney says, it's hot here. We don't need a fire. We just have to keep it going. But he likes to keep it going full blaze, like a bonfire all the time. And so he's out there. He's ordering people around, telling them what to do. And it's funny because you remember the last couple of episodes, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Joe's in this one, too. I wonder what he's up to. I wonder what he's doing. And now I'm just like, yeah, I'm over Joe. I don't ever need to see him again.
Yeah. If you read interviews with other cast members after they've left and like seen the stuff of what they cut, you know, because CBS will post the bonus footage every once in a while, a huge sub theme in this season that they decided to cut and not show at all is that Joe lords over the fire like it is his personal domain. Like, everybody says, like, Joe believes he's the only one who can properly start and maintain a fire and that's doesn't trust funny. Anybody else to do it. And it's like, how are you this far into the season and you still don't let that go?
Well, he is Fire Lord Joe.
Yes. Pretty soon to be Phoenix King Joe.
Wait, did they do Phoenix? No. Wait, okay. Avatar was break. Was he a Phoenix King? No, he wasn't a Phoenix King. He was just Fire Lord, wasn't he?
He was Fire Lord, and then he wanted to be reborn in flame.
Oh, you're right.
So he declared himself Phoenix King and made Azula Fire Lord.
Right, when he went buck wild insane. Okay, I forgot about that. Man, he was buck wild insane
before that. He just finally...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, because that was a great reveal. And this will all be in the episode, by the way. That was a great reveal because at first you just think, oh, he's like power hungry and a little bit disturbed, but whatever. And then you realize, oh, no, he was legit crazy the entire time. Oh, that's awesome. It's kind of like if you've never seen Mad Men, they have a character in Mad Men in like the last two seasons, who at first is just like, oh, he's a little bit eccentric or whatever. And he talks about, oh, like, I'm from Mars. And you think he's just being a metaphor, right? Like, oh, I'm such an outsider. And then in like one of the last couple episodes, you realize, no, he has a severe mental illness. And it's just that it's the 1970s. So it went undiagnosed and he is severely ill. And it is a brilliant moment because then you go back and you look like you think back in the last season and a half and you're like, oh, wow, he was bad. And I saw
the whole time.
Yeah, I thought I saw you see it the entire time. It's right there. And you're just like, oh, no, that guy, he's just quirky and weird. No, he's insane. OK, sorry. I love that show. Anyway, the winner here. Yeah, it was Joe. Ty.
It's not Joe.
Basically, my entire team won, which is great.
No, it's one of each.
No, I have both Jason and Kyle, whatever the fuck his name is. I have Jason him and Ty. Points. Yeah, he gets me 0 points, which is unfortunate. But at least it's not someone I don't know who. You have Michelle, right? Right, Brian?
Nope, I do.
Yeah, I don't even one each. I didn't get shit.
This is a good week for Andy.
Because I was going to say, I thought you had Michelle, Brian. Oh, that sucks. So I was going to say, like, at least you got the points and not, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it sucks.
No, it sucks.
It sucks. When they got back to the beach, they didn't have any scenes, right? They just went straight to the immunity challenge?
Yeah, pretty much. There wasn't a whole lot of discussion about anything.
Yeah. Okay, well, in that case, this immunity challenge, though, was great. Because it was as simple as they just had to stack blocks that spelled immunity. And that was all that they had to do, except... some evil asshole decided, you know how we can make this a little bit better? We can have them balance it on a little thing. But you know what's even better than that? They're going to have to walk back and forth using a rope to hold, just give just enough tension to keep this from falling over. So this thing was such a son of a bitch. Every single person except for Sydney, who took the Yertle the Turtle method and just, I'm going to move nice and slow.
I love Sydney so much.
Were they not listening to me last time? God damn it. I told them slow and steady. Weren't they listening?
Did they not hear you across time and space of a full year?
Jeff lights a fire under this. Like, he pokes and prods at them when he feels like they're going too slow and it's not exciting. Like, the first quarter of this, after the edit, what we got to see, the first quarter of it, Jeff's like constantly saying, Sydney is out of this. There's no way. Sydney can't catch up. Sydney's so far behind. She's not even a contestant. He said that like for at least a quarter of this, and then people started dropping. He's like, and I guess Sydney's still there. I don't know. And Sydney just never dropped. Took her time, even when it was close with Kyle, she like sped up like a half a mile an hour more, like now, barely noticeably.
Here's my question: is this a great moment in ADR? Like, we never saw Jeff say those things. It could very easily have been ADR.
Could be. I'm pretty sure we saw him. I saw him say them.
They showed it at least once or twice.
Okay, I mean, maybe. I know,
it was great. It was great editing.
Yeah, it was great editing, because usually when they had him do it and it seemed like it could have been ADR voiceover, the camera was showing her focusing on the rope. Like, actually, if I weren't using this three quarters naked picture of Scott for the episode art, I very easily would have used her like sighting down the rope to make sure that it was perfect. She just moved very slow. Unlike Joe, who was moving so fast that he didn't even really seem to care if he had the wrong letters. Joe apparently cannot fucking spell immunity.
And he was on the brains drive, folks.
Oh my God. No, the best part was that he had ITY, and the next letter he brought was an I.
Yeah. Mumunity. Mumuntity. Yeah. He's. Joe, like, okay, if this game were a meritocracy, right? Joe would have been gone. Liz would still be in. All right, anyway. So Sydney would. Sydney. Look, I have such a great time editing this.
So I'm pretty sure the biggest mistake with this immunity challenge was laying out the blocks in the beginning of the challenge in the correct order. It would have been such a great, like, make them do a word jumble to start, but not even like sit at the table and do a word jumble, because then you can see the person next to you. Just leave them in a pile, and then try to see if somebody unjumbles it over there, or if like then they take it over. I just, because then Joe would have been extra fucked, and there's probably one or two other people that
who couldn't figure out the words
that might not have gotten it right on the first try. Like, maybe Kyle got it right because it was laid out for him.
Well, we've seen before blue collar, white collar, other collar, no collar. That was the one.
Yeah.
We've seen before that after that much time, you kind of just lose the ability to come up with words.
Yeah.
And so we could easily have seen that. But this was, I don't know. I feel like this worked well, especially because they knew people were going to drop. Yeah. Like, Sydney was the only one who did not drop at all. Jason dropped twice. Because as slow as Sydney was going, slow and steady does win the race. But Jason very nearly won. He got to his mat before her. He just got and gave a little too much slack, which caused his pile to topple. And so he ended up losing. But he could have won this one very easily. And we would be, well, okay. It's a little cheap to say, you know what, there's six players left. It would have been a whole different game. Because it really would have been. But it really would have been a completely different game had he gone. Or had he won and had immunity. For one, I would actually be in the lead in fantasy. But.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah, you're right.
I'd have been.
Mm. Yeah, and I would have probably gotten 0 points for Michelle.
Yeah. And I will say, and this is in a completely non-sexual thing, I see what you're talking about now. Like, this episode, they had Sydney framed very well. She does have like a perfectly sculpted body.
Yeah.
I would say like 2% body fat. Like, she looks like a Greek statue.
Yeah. She's a gorgeous.
She is gorgeous, impressive. Human being. Like, yeah, I there was a minute there. I was just in awe. Like, cause she was flexing in a way and I really am trying to say this without sounding like object, because she really does just look like a Greek statue, which is
she is a bodybuilder. It is part of her job to look like that Greek statue.
Yeah, I was just like, wow. So
you're not being sexist.
Yeah, yeah.
Saying it here.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You would be sexist if you were me right now, pointing out that point in the episode where she wasn't wearing a bra and had some pokies underneath it. That would be sexist of you to bring.
Yeah.
Yeah. As she's being edited, I like Sydney Hole Haas. So. Yeah.
Well, you know what I like most about Sydney, and this is going to go into the scramble too, is she does go nuts, but she only goes nuts to the camera, or she goes nuts to people who aren't involved. Like, when Joe was telling her what to do, she and Aubrey were out walking, getting wood or mangoes or something, and she's saying, like, I cannot take this. I'm about ready to slap his ass, that sort of thing. And Aubrey's like, you know what, just deal with it. It's, you know, we need his vote. It's not worth it. And she's like, you know what, you're right. And so she is a good, good player. Like, she knows how this game works.
And she has been fed up with Kyle for...
Yeah.
For, I mean,
while.
Like a month of our watching at least, which is almost a week of them out there. She's been fed up of his shit for a while. And she's going to swallow that because she knows for the game, he's just dead weight and it's not worth going after him right now.
And actually, that's a good segue into the scramble, because here's the thing. So, you know, they spent a lot of time about Ty recognizing Michelle as the threat and we want to get rid of her. Did they spend any time, and I'll ask you guys, I don't remember and or did not see it at all. I don't remember them ever showing anybody saying we're going to go for Kyle. Like, I remember them rebelling against Ty, but I don't remember them saying we're going for Kyle.
So I think what happened was they were all out in the water. And Ty comes out, plops his butt down, and says, "We're gonna vote. We're gonna do Michelle."
No bullshit. Bullshit. That is what all of them said, and they were all giving him shit. Like, why are you dictating what we're doing? Bullshit. He came out there and said, "I think we should vote for Michelle. What do you guys think?" And they were all like, "Oh, he told us we have to vote Michelle out."
I think it came off that way because he came out, he laid it down, and then Michelle came, and he didn't get a chance. He legitimately didn't get a chance to talk to anybody personally. Which is, I think, what he was trying to say later in Tribal when Sydney called him out for, like, being bossy. And he was like, I didn't get a chance to come and talk to you about this. You know, like, I think that's what he was trying to articulate. He came out there, he told them what he wanted to do, and did not get a real opportunity. Which could be a misplay on his part, but I think is actually a quality highlight of how Michelle is playing this game. Michelle is getting herself in with everybody, and she's running screens all day long. There's not a whole lot of chances for people to have group conversations without her out there. And I think less this is Ty playing a bad game and Michelle playing a good one, because Michelle got a whiff of what happened and immediately started propagandizing and calling Ty a dictator and calling him bossy, which I think Michelle also knows is one of Sydney's triggers, which then gets Sydney's on your side, and Sydney can galvanize other people. I think that's why Michelle is playing this game really, really well. It just doesn't look like it.
But that was him being a dictator was all Sydney's idea. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
That's why she went and told Michelle, because she went, the motherfucker's not going to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well...
But I mean, it's also that Sydney has a huge trigger about getting bossed around. That's like her. That's her hot button.
Yeah, and in fairness, she's wanted this guy out forever. She is good with. She is allied with Michelle too. So when Ty starts saying, "Oh, let's get Michelle out," that's when she started saying, "Oh, he's dictating. He's dictating. We got to get rid of him." That sort of thing. Or I'm sorry, we should not listen to him. That sort of thing. So yeah, but that tribal council though, ooh, man, Ty. Yeah.
Ty is not good in tribal.
I don't know. Do you think maybe some of it is language barrier?
No.
I think he speaks
pretty clear English.
I don't think it is. I think it's more that he his slip up saying I didn't get a chance to talk to you privately, Sydney. That's a language thing, because then Michelle pounces on that and says, well, why do you need to go talk to her individually? Why are you building a pecking order here? Like, if it's just a discussion about us voting on Jason, why is everybody part of this discussion? Like, I think Michelle jumping on that is jumping on a language differential. But Ty, at this point, has an established problem in Tribal of saying things he should not say and letting slip things that are actually secrets that he forgets are secrets.
Yeah. I loved how he responded, though, when Michelle was, like, attacking him. He did the most passive-aggressive shit. But he was like, and I was telling her that there's, well, why do we have this other person in our alliance we don't need?
So, you know, that makes me think, is Ty the best bad player who's ever been in the game?
No, I think he is a legitimately good player, and he knows how to, like I said last week or the week before, when all three of us were, actually. So 2 weeks ago then? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ty is really good at using his idol as a screen and using it as a way to protect himself without actually having to play it. Even this week, he didn't have to play. He used his advantage because I think he wanted to force Michelle out or thought he could tip the scale. It didn't work, but he still did not feel the need to play his idol, even though this is a week he could have definitely gotten some backlash and had him get votes.
So, you know, the funny thing, this is three seasons. Sorry, I'll let you do your thing in a second. But this is three seasons in a row that have had some kind of extra vote advantage. Not one of them has worked.
Yeah.
Okay, same thing.
It's a great idea that should work.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know how to do it. Yeah, I love that it's in there. And I even love it when it's not working, because when it doesn't work, it doesn't work in a cool way. Okay, so I interrupted you, Brian. What were you going to say?
You know how, you know, Ty is actually playing a really good game, and why he would definitely win if he was in the final three? Because he turned on somebody, and they didn't ever consider turning back on him. They were just like, no, we're still voting for Jason.
Yeah. And if the
anybody else did that, that person gets voted out when they get caught. Mm-hmm. They didn't ever consider a second voting for Ty.
Yeah, and if the episode previews are anything to be believed, he and Michelle seem to be on perfectly fine terms. Which actually
I know, he's like massaging her and shit.
Yeah, and even come to think of it, at the beginning of this episode, Jason seemed to be okay, he has had issues in the past. Kyle, Jason. Yeah. Fuck, Jason Todd, motherfucker. the tattooed one, the illustrated man, has had difficulty in the past with people. Scott? Shit, they're both illustrated men, huh? Oof. The hairy illustrated man has had trouble with... Take that, Isaac Asimov. No. Was it Asimov? Fuck, now I'm going to have to look that one up. Whatever. Has had trouble in the past with people. But at the end of the last tribal council, he seemed to be okay. Like, he's... Maybe it's just because he got his way, you know what I mean? Like, he got his way and everybody acceded to him and voted out somebody not named Kyle. But, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I go back and forth. Like, he won't. So he stops overtly being a dick, but he still goes back and is just a wasteless lump around camp because of the sentiment of, well, I'm not going to be around anyway. And it's like, motherfucker, you are like two people away from Final Tribal. If you just, you know, got off your fucking ass, played the game a little bit more, or like just weren't a useless lump at camp, like, if you tried actively to be a decent person, you might have made it further in the game. But because you gave up consistently week after week.
Yeah.
He gave up two episodes ago.
Yeah. No, that was the worst part of when he got his little confessional right after getting voted out. I'm proud of the way I played.
Yeah.
Like, you're proud of being a crybaby prick?
And he says, and I think my family will be too. Thank God, I hope not.
Yeah.
Editing was not good to you, buddy.
No. Well, I mean, that's the thing. In order to be a victim of editing, there has to be something to edit down to.
Yeah.
I learned that from Unreal. So, yeah, he gets voted out. He was the one person to vote for Joe, so I don't know. Like, that didn't make any sense to me, but whatever. Because
he didn't want to believe Ty. He said that.
Oh, he did? Okay, I missed that.
He didn't want to do anything with Ty, reinforcing that he's a vindictive baby.
Yeah.
Which, nobody wants to play with me. Okay, crazy plan, come talk to me. Oh, Ty, fuck that. I'm not working with you. Like, you just...
Yeah. I would like to point out that in our notes, we have him referred to as Jason and as Kyle, and I didn't write either of those notes. So people... If you're wondering, oh my god, it's episode 12... why can't he get his name straight? Nobody can.
Yeah, I still don't know which one is his last name.
Yeah,
I think it's Jason.
His name is Kyle Jason,
but there were other websites we were looking at early on that said Jason Kyle, and and that's what threw us off. And it's like when somebody introduces themselves
to you. That's why you don't give a kid two first names.
Yeah. Wow. You roboticized.
His last name is Jason. What are you going to do? Give him a last name as a first name?
Yeah.
There's not really what you can do about that.
No, you go to fucking court and you change your last name from Jason.
Yeah. Smith Jason. Hey, that's what they did in Sex and the City.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to hear from you again. Mentioning
that show. Okay, so my...
You know what, Brian? That is such a Samantha thing to say.
So I really like this Ponderosa because it in a way, it perfectly articulated why I don't like Kyle. So he says more or less, this is paraphrasing, I like when people think I'm a tough, cold guy, and it was hard to show my emotions out in a public audience. But like, no, that's not what you really want, right? Because your item was the teddy bear, and you talked about your daughter and the autism, which they asked, and you're like, oh, if you ask, I'm going to bring it up. Like, okay, you kind of brought a lot up. But the teddy bear is what, like, of all the personalities to bring, you brought that teddy bear. Like, what you really want is for people to think that you're the tough guy with a heart of gold. Like, that's the crafted image you really are trying to get across. But the reality is that you're a fucking baby, and you have no idea what your self-identity actually is.
Yeah.
And because you don't, and you actively try to be the tough guy because you want to be seen as the tough guy, what you really do is you walk around and you're an asshole, and you're not a tough guy, you're a dick. And you don't have a heart of gold, you're a dick. If you just embrace the heart of gold and drop the tough guy bullshit, you might actually be a decent person, Kyle. Realize who you are and embrace it. And don't worry about this tough guy bullshit that you have inherited from your relationship with your father.
So did you notice he clearly, like, normally when he's not in the game, like, exercises his arms every day, because at the end his arms are all flabby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he even said in the weight, like, 20 something pounds. He's like, that takes a lot of time to get that in the gym.
Yeah. My God. He lost 22 pounds. Like, seriously. Yeah. All right. Do we want to move on to fantasy, or do we want to talk about what people might say in order to win a tribal council? Not tribal council, final tribal council.
Final tribal. We can do the final tribal thing really quick.
Okay, yeah. All right, okay. So let's say... Okay.
I don't know.
Well, let's say you are Ty. What's your pitch? And I'll ask each of you, give me a pitch if you're Ty, and I'll give you mine.
I would just say, you know, I'm nice. And I've been nice to people. And think about the personality of the people who are going to win, and think about who here is the best person. And okay. I think that's the way he would articulate it, because it's not a great argument.
Okay,
but
it sounds like something he'd say, though.
That's not a well-worded argument, but that is why you should win. You just need to phrase it better. And I think that's why that would be Ty's.
All right, Brian, you are now Ty. What do you got?
I think what he should say, or what he would actually say.
What he should say.
What he should say is, I'm Ty, and I, like, totally fucked over everybody, but you don't hate me for it, because I'm nice.
Yeah.
That's basically, I'm not a dickhead about it. So.
Yeah. If I were him, I think we all kind of agree on the nicest thing, but I would actually emphasize that I flipped and flopped, but none of you tried to get me back for some reason. So I outwitted and outlasted you, and I could even say outplayed. So give me $1 million, please. If I were Joe, I would probably just say, where am I? Who are all you people? I'm so, so tired. I like Mark Harmon. When is NCIS going to be on next?
Yeah. No, I
can't imagine what Joe could possibly say that would get him any votes.
I think really it'll just be, I'm old and I'm still here, and that by golly, that should mean something.
Fire Lord Joe demands all your votes.
He's going to go in with the with his generation's entitlement and say, I'm old and I achieved this, and that should mean something. But in reality, it doesn't, because you didn't do anything to get yourself there. You literally sat down during a challenge.
Yeah.
So you didn't earn this in any way. All you did was outlast, and you didn't do it. Other people dragged you along.
Yeah. All right.
Well, they didn't even drag him along. It was just other people were more annoying.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens next week. Fire lording. Yeah.
There's only two episodes left. So then Aubrey, she's the next.
They're both there next week, right? Episode 13 is the last one.
Oh.
Is there two left or is there one left? Do you think there'll be one left?
It's probably 2 1-hour episodes. My DVR shows that there's going to be two episodes. So my guess is 2 1-hours.
Oh, okay. I believe it's two 1-hour
episodes. Well, yeah. No. See, the second one is probably the reunion.
Reunion's only like a half an hour nowadays.
Yeah.
What? No, it's not.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
Well, that's just because they go so far overtime with the episode.
Motherfuckers, let's move to Aubrey. She's the one who's going to win this game.
Yeah, I don't think she is.
Really? Well, why not?
If you were in Aubrey's position right now, what would your argument be to the final tribal? If you had made the moves.
See, I don't have one because nobody can see the moves she's making. She would just be like, I made a bunch of moves. And then they would all come up to go, fuck it. No, you haven't. I didn't see you do anything.
Here's what I would say. If the last couple episodes, and we've seen this from the beginning, but the last couple especially, she always has one-on-one time with people and she manages to make them feel special. So I feel like they will see that and go, yeah, you know what? You do deserve it because I have this rapport with you. Now, she probably already has $1 million because she is a professional media consultant. She does, I don't know who she does Twitter for, but she runs basically, she's the social media consultant for people. So she probably already has $1 million, but they don't know that.
Yeah, I think her argument would be that she played a smart strategic game, but mostly also that she came from the Brain Tribe, but fought tooth and nail with everyone else. She fought through the dominance of the Beauty Tribe during the merge, and she stuck in there during challenges with people from the Brawn Tribe. You know, and saying that she had the determination, even though she didn't win everything, she never gave up and she stuck with it. And she carried Joe all the way here to sit next to her right now in the final tribal.
Yeah. Michelle, which has 2 L's. Stop spelling her name wrong.
It has 1 L.
It has one.
She fuck you guys.
It one L.
Yeah.
She's wrong.
Fucking read the roster for this goddamn show.
No, Jason Todd,
Jennifer on this season.
The Red Hood. The Red Hood is in this game. Michelle.
Michelle would say that she's got these subtle moves that got her here without making overt enemies.
Basically.
The shadowy backstabber. Not even backstabber. The shadowy.
The front stabber. No, she has. We saw this is the best episode that we saw it in, where she took Ty, who was in a strong position, and managed to throw him under the bus and get him to basically eat his own leg. He really messed that one up. So
Ty was not at the top this week. Yeah, he hasn't been at the top for a while.
Yeah, that was not a good move on him his part.
He was at the top, kind of the one before this, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
no, he just Ty is the guy that if they think they can get him out, they will vote for him, but they can't because of that idol.
They can't next time.
Yeah. All right. That leaves Sydney and, more importantly, Mark the Chicken.
Sydney would be fuck all y'all.
Yeah.
Fuck all y'all.
She kind of would.
Fuck all y'all. I made the major moves that define this season. Like, I betrayed the people at the right time, and I didn't care if they knew it was me, and I didn't care. You know, I didn't care about any of that. And you all know I made those choices and I made them the right way at the right time. And fuck all y'all.
Yeah. All right. So
jumping off that Braun bandwagon.
Let's put it this way. Of the 5 people who are left. Well, that's a dumb, obvious statement. But of the people who are left, who wins this game?
Ty.
I wanted to be Sydney, but I think it might end up being Michelle.
I think it's Aubrey.
No. I don't think there's any way Aubrey's going to win.
I think she can pull it out, but we'll see. Do we want to put any points on it, though?
I'm born.
Yes, I want to put a lot of points on it.
Because you want to put
a fucking chance. You should put.
We'll move on. We'll recap fantasy real fast, and then we'll see if we want to put any points on it. So we have one extant bet about the fate of Mark, and I'm now reasonably sure he's going to survive. I get 2 points if he wins. Brian says he will not. Wins if he lives. If Mark wins, holy shit, that would be the ultimate Vince Russo.
I would not put it past Kyle to vote for Mark.
That would be some straight up WWE bullshit. I would love that if that happened. He will not be winning. Okay. In terms of teams, bringing up the rear, we got Brian. He got 6 points this time, 3 from Joe and 3 from Aubrey, added to his 58, gives him a total of 64. I'm in second place. I got 0 from Kyle because he's gone. He went on the reward challenge, gives me nothing. That sucks. Ty gives me 5 for surviving and for going on that challenge. Added to my 74, that gives me 79 points. And Andy gets 10 because Sydney won, Michelle survived, and went on the reward challenge. 10 to his 75 is 85.
So you guys can't see it, but I'm flexing like Sydney over here.
You can't see it, but I am 2 Stephen Curry 3-point shots away from beating you. Yes, it's true. Okay, so do we want to put any points on who we think's going to win? Do we want to put, like, say, we'll each pick one person, then 3 points to the person?
3, if you're fuck right? That. I need like 10.
I don't want to put a bet on this because this is a close season and I don't see a clear cut winner.
Well, no, you don't lose points if you're wrong. You just get points if you're right.
All right.
This is the opposite of our Deadpool. This is our winner pool.
All right, I'll take
our live pool. What's the opposite of a pool? Our live spa. You're taking Sydney?
Yeah.
See, but my point is, if it's not worth at least 10, there's no point in me even doing it because I can't possibly win otherwise.
Lazarus Pit. I'm changing that. There we go. Our Lazarus Pit. So, Sydney, I'll let Brian, you go first since you're so far behind.
I'm gonna pick Ty.
You're gonna pick Ty? Okay. And then I will pick I will pick Brian, but that's because I'm looking at your team. I will pick Aubrey. Okay. So we got that bet. Okay, cool. In that case, we are really, this is a super size, fun size episode.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of hockey up top.
Yeah. Some of that will be gone, but we're still probably clocking in near an hour, so we should wrap up. Does anybody have anything they want to say at all whatsoever before we go?
Yes. I want to point out that the first person I lost was Neil, you know, and he got left because he got hurt. I'm not losing because I picked people who can't survive. I'm losing because I picked people who don't win anything.
So what you're saying is you picked a Sharks team and you're trying to blame the game.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I got more points than you this week, so.
I got nothing for you. I can't rebut that.
Okay. That's what I thought.
All right. Well, in that case, then we'll see you next week for what's probably going to be the final episode. We shall see. In the meantime, though, I don't know. We never did.
DLG.com?
Go watch Sharks and root for them and stuff.
Yes. So go don't have fucking, guys. The Sharks, I don't want to get my hopes up, but they could actually go far. I don't believe they can. I believe they're going to lose the next 2 games. But that's because I'm a bitter, jaded fan. I hate my life. I wish to die. Wow, that got dark. Anyway, we will see you guys. Go root for the Sharks. Have fun. Nice.
Night of the Living Poop.